Friday morning. One of the central issues in this year's presidential election probably should be and will be, although there's going to be a lot of noise that you'll have to sort of sift through to get to this, but it's the idea of nationalism versus globalism. And our next guest says that nationalist trade policies are destroying our country, and that's the subtitle of his book, Why Globalization Works for America. Edward Goldberg on line with us right now. Ed, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I appreciate you joining us this morning. You know, Donald Trump ran a very successful campaign in 2016 on America First, and he has continued to press that notion. Why is it not working for America?
Well, because I think essentially the policy is a total failure. If we have one history to look at, if we look at the 1920s, which was a time of constantly rising high tariffs, and then it ended up in a disaster. Tariffs don't solve the problem. A lot of the problem we're seeing actually is about technology and automation. Take the steel industry. I mean, the steel industry in 1970, it took 10 people to make a ton of steel. Today it takes one. That has nothing to do with imports. That's automation. Look at Rochester, New York. Used to be booming with Kodak camera. Everybody had a Brownie camera. Now that camera is in your iPhone. Once again, nothing to do with globalization. Or take the supermarket. You know, it used to be a zillion teenagers working in the checkouts in the supermarkets. Now it's all scanners. Nothing to do about globalization.
Yeah. But what about those that say that this is bad for America because it, it takes away from our... There's a lot of patriotism, I guess, that gets thrown into this argument. You know, America First, America, land of the free, home of the brave. We want to put a big wall up around this country. And you're saying that just doesn't work from an economic standpoint. We're better off with globalization.
With new ideas coming in and challenging. Look, globalization is part of the evolutionary process. And for a country to be successful, it always takes in new ideas and builds upon those new ideas. And we look at countries that stopped globalization. This is not the first time globalization's happened. There have been three, four periods. The Chinese in the 1500s actually stopped foreigners coming in from their country. And from when they were at the richest, they were the richest country in the world at that time. And then from the 1500s, they got poorer and poorer because they stopped new ideas from coming in.
Yeah. You talk about the auto industry. You talk about, those Japanese cars. Those Japanese cars are largely built here in the U.S., aren't they?
Absolutely. And that's another example of globalization. All the Japanese cars built in the U.S., or the Mercedes built in the U.S. Well, take the state of Alabama. You know, when I was growing up, one thought of Alabama as cotton and plantations. Alabama is now one of the largest manufacturer of auto parts in the world, shipping primarily out of the United States. That's globalization.
You've updated this book, by the way, for publication with an addendum regarding COVID-19. I'd like you to tell us a little bit how COVID-19 has played into this whole argument.
Yeah, well, you know, COVID-19, and I say to a certain extent, it's partner to come global warming. Really are global problems that needed to be solved globally, not by individual nations. We can't stop viruses coming in. We can't build walls against virus. The Mexican wall didn't stop the virus coming in, just like we can't stop pollution coming in. And the only way to really handle these problems is in a global manner through global organizations.
Do you see the Trump administration at any point maybe rethinking globalization? I mean, they've taken a very hard stance. The president has taken a very hard stance on America First. Do you see any sign of him changing his mind?
It appears they're doubling down on their stance. They're talking about higher tariffs now against both Canada and the European Union. So, in fact, they're doubling down. And the interesting thing is the European Union, most people think we trade more with China. We actually trade more with the European Union, and the trade's much more balanced. And we need the European Union as a partner against the economic strength of China. It's a very important ally to us. But Trump has now doubled down and put more pressure on the European Union.
Those allies are very important, aren't they?
Extremely.
The book is called Why Globalization Works for America, How Nationalist Trade Policies Are Destroying Our Country. Ed, what would another 4 years of nationalist policies do to the U.S. economy, do you think?
You know, if once again our only models can be history, and we look at, I don't know, there was a very famous tariff put on in the 1930 called the Smoot-Hawley. This is actually, this month is the 90th anniversary of it. It ended up basically causing a worldwide depression. It was probably the most foolish thing the U.S. government ever did economically. And you could see that happening again, forgetting about COVID economics for a moment. You know, we have to put that aside. Mm-hmm. But it just doesn't economically make sense. And it doesn't make sense to keep people from coming into the United States. Both products and people challenge us and make us better. Why should we be afraid of competition?
Yeah, makes sense. Ed, I appreciate your insight. I appreciate you joining us this morning. You have a website where people can find out more about the book and about what you've written, right?
Right. You can follow me on Twitter at Edward Goldberg, or you can follow me on my website at edwardgoldberg.info.
We will check it out. Ed, real pleasure having you on. I appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Paul, I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.